A question for you. Are you a morning person or are you a night person? How many of you consider yourselves a morning person? Raise your hand. Morning people. A lot more than I would have thought. How many of you consider yourself a night person? More than I thought. How many of you don't know or don't care? For most of my life, I would say that I have not been a morning person. But the older I get, that's changed somewhat. I suspect some of you can identify with that. There are those who insist that the best time of the day is the morning. And one of those would be King David, the author of many of the Psalms. And today we're going to focus on his Psalm number 5. And once again, I've printed it for you in the bulletin so that you can follow along. I hope you will. Did you know that Psalm 5 is called the morning psalm? And the reason it is because of verse 3. Verse 3 says, "In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation." I love that verse. It's so positive and encouraging. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. David prayed. Now, prayer is not just a concept. Prayer is a conversation. Do you pray? Do you have a conversation with the one who runs the universe and the one who runs your life? David not only says that God hears your voice when you pray, but he adds this, "In the morning I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation." That's the part that I love the most. David prayed and David expected God to move. Now, I'm sure that you have heard this. God always answers your prayers. Some of you may not believe that. Some of you may be thinking, really? Well, he hasn't answered my prayer. And here's the part that you should have heard before. If not, listen now. God always answers the prayers of his beloved. Sometimes, when you ask God for something, he says yes. And we love that, don't we? We feel really good about that. But sometimes he says no, and we don't feel so good about that sometimes. And furthermore, God sometimes says, "Not now." How do you feel about that? And then at other times, God says, "Here is something better than what you thought you needed." He knows what's best for me. He knows what's best for you. Our job is to pray and wait in expectation. Now, for what was David praying in Psalm 5? He was praying for the same thing that he prayed for in many of his psalms. He was praying for deliverance from his enemies. David had a gift for making enemies. After all, he was a politician. And politicians have a gift for making enemies. The world was very cynical about politicians in biblical days. Aren't we glad that we don't have to deal with that today? We love politicians. They're like football players. Fight, fight, fight. They get down in the mud. And we cheer more loudly when our guy defeats his enemy. Politicians make enemies. They have a gift for making enemies. David started attacking enemies when he was just a little boy with a slingshot. But when he became the leader of his people, that's when his gift really started to shine. He started making lots of enemies. Some of the enemies were foreign enemies, and some of the enemies were domestic enemies, and some of the enemies were family enemies. Like any great politician, David was the recipient of malicious gossip, and verbal attacks, even lies. Listen to his verse 9. Not a word from their mouths can be trusted. Their heart is filled with destruction. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongue they speak deceit. Fake news. That's what that is. And it started long ago. Now, let's get personal here for a few moments. Have you ever been on the receiving end of verbal attacks? Have you ever had anyone say something negative about you that was untrue? Did it hurt? Did it make you angry? Did you talk to God about it? Psalm 5, verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help. My King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. Here is just one good reason to turn to God when you face your enemies. It's verse 4. You are not a God who takes pleasure in evil. With you the wicked cannot dwell. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. Now beware of this. Don't allow yourself to be one who is wicked or arrogant, because God hates all who do wrong. Instead, take this model from David, verse 7. But I, by your great mercy, will come into your house in reverence, while I bow down toward your holy temple. When David faced his enemies, his response was to come before God in humility. Oh, that the politicians of this world would come to their knees and come to God in humility. I thought I'd get a big amen out of that one. Oh, that all of us pastors would come to God in humility. Oh, that all who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ would fall on our knees and bow their knees to Him in humility. In today's headlines, the Roman Catholic Church has been forced to their knees in humility. God forbid that any of us would be forced to do that. May you and I be like David, who said, I will come to you, Lord, in reverence and in humility. Like David, may you and I be willing to turn to God and take the time that it requires to pray to Him and wait in expectation. Let me remind you of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Why did the author of the book of Hebrews say that we should approach the throne of God with confidence? The answer lies in the verse that precedes that in Hebrews, verse 16. It says, for we have a high priest who is not unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. We have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Jesus took the high road when he was surrounded by his enemies. for the most part, David also took the high road when he was surrounded by his enemies. When you have to deal with pain or rejection in your life, brothers and sisters, take the high road. When you have every right to be angry, take the high road. When you have the urge to get down in the mud like a football player and slug it out with your perceived enemies, take the high road. Even if it was my spouse who stabbed me in the back? Yes. Even if I was loyal to my boss and he sacked me? Yes. Even if it was another Christian who hurt me? Yes. Yes. The high road means that we do the right thing when what we want to do is the wrong thing. And that's hard. So how do you succeed? Start every day with the Lord. Start every day with the Lord. God promises that His mercies are new every morning. He said that in the Scripture. And He promises that His faithful is more than good. His faithfulness is great. But you need to initiate that coming before Him in the start of every new day. I have made it a commitment in my life, not just a habit, a commitment in my life to pray every morning before I get out of bed. It does not matter how early that day starts or how late that day starts. I pray before I get out of the bed. And I can tell you that over and over again, God has led me so many times to pray for those who have wronged me. He has urged me to get out of this low road mentality and go to the high road and take the high road and walk with Him in the high road so many times. Now, I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back. I'm sharing that with you to say that God wants you and me to bring glory to Him in the ways we respond to the negatives in our lives. Yes, I've also had to confess to Him of the times that I chose to go on the low road. The times that I did not walk with Him. Thank God that He forgives. That's another big amen I should have heard. And that He doesn't just forgive me, but He forgives you too. And you know exactly what I'm talking about, because you've been there. Psalm 5, verse 5, the arrogant cannot stand in God's presence. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. The arrogant cannot stand in God's presence. And now, here in Psalm 5 is a prayer. It is a prayer of prayers. Lead me, Lord. Lead me, O Lord, in Your righteousness. Because of my enemies, make straight Your way before me. If you do not allow the Lord to lead you, guess who will? 1 Peter 5:8, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Pray this every day. Lead me, Lord. Lead me. Guide me, O Thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but Thou art mighty. Hold me with Thy powerful hand. Hold me with thy loving hand. Hold me with thy healing hand. Lead me, Lord. I found a poem I'd never heard. I love this poem. It was written by Ruth Gibbs Zvall. I looked at the mountain. It's too hard, Lord, I said. I cannot climb it. Take my hand, he whispered. I will be your strength. I saw the road. It's too long, Lord. I cannot do this. It's so rough and long. Take my love, he whispered, and I will guard your feet. I looked at the sky. The sun is gone, I said. Already the way grows dark. Take the lantern of my word, he whispered, and that will be light enough. We climbed. The road was narrow and steep, but the way was bright. And when the thorns reached out, they found his hands before they touched mine. And when my path grew rough, I knew that it was his love that kept my feet from stumbling. And then I grew tired. I can go no further, Lord, I said. He answered, night is gone. Look up, my child. I looked up and it was dawn. And Green Valley stretched out below. I can go on now. Alone, I said. And then I saw the marks. Lord, you are wounded. Your hands are bleeding. Your feet are bruised. Was it for me? He whispered, I did it gladly. And then I fell at his feet. Lord, lead me on. No road too long, no valley too deep, if you are with me. So we walk together now, and we shall forever. And that brings us to the closing verse. The closing verses of Psalm 5. And first I'm going to read them beginning in verse 11. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. Now, as if we were a bunch of dumb sheep, David had to pound these truths into our heads. Psalm 1 ends with this, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. Psalm 2 ends with this, blessed are all who take refuge in him. Psalm 3 ends with this, I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. Psalm 4 ends with this, I will lie down in sleep and in peace. For you, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And Psalm 5 ends with this, for surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. There's an old hymn that's really fun to sing. It's, who is on the Lord's side? Do you know that old hymn? Well, here, that's an important question, isn't it? But here is a question that is just as important. Who is on your side? I'll tell you who's on your side, your Father, your Heavenly Father. He is on your side. He watches over your way. He gives you refuge. He sustains you. He keeps you safe. He blesses you and he surrounds you with his favor. And in the morning, he hears your voice and he leads you in righteousness. That is why David said, sing for joy and rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, thank you for reminding us that there is no mountain too high for you. There's no valley too deep for you. There's no river too rough for you. Your great and gentle strength sustain us, Lord. And that's why we rejoice in you. So, Lord, take us by our hands and lead us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. It's time to praise the Lord. Let's stand together and sing.